Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. God bless. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Oh, I'm thankful this morning. I'm happy this morning. I'm glorifying God with all my strength this morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another AJ Ministries House of Prophecy. We are here today to welcome in today. I'm your host, AJ C, and I'll see you into the day. Today. Today was actually a good morning. Not that every morning isn't a good morning, but I was really happy this morning. Because of what God gave me to talk about this morning. I was really happy. But before we get on into that, I want to make sure that you understand it. This broadcast may cut off before the broadcast is done. But you can always go to Zeno FM and listen to the entire podcast. The actual videos won't come out until Saturday, but the podcast will be uploaded daily. All you have to do is download Zeno FM on the app to your phone, and then when you get to the app and you search, put in AJ Ministries HOP, and boom, I'll be in your face, and you can listen to any of the podcasts that we've had, past, present. Amen? And some that weren't put on Blog Talk Radio. You'll be able to listen to them. And a lot of everything that we've done, whether it was put on Blog Talk, whether it was put on social media or not, you'll be able to see it on Zeno FM or if you go to the website. So today is a good day. I'm just so happy and elated. And I tell you what, yesterday, after the broadcast, I got a phone call from a young man. I'm not going to tell you his name. I'm not going to tell you his occupation. But I got a phone call from a young man, and we had an exhilarating conversation regarding the broadcast of yesterday. And he brought up some good points yesterday. And I was really happy about it. I was so happy that I plan on reaching out to him again later on throughout life. I plan on keeping in contact with him, shooting some emails, letting him know that we're still here and we still love him and praying for him and all those good stuff. But after the conversation, he brought up a lot of points. And the points he brought up really stimulated the conversation for the day. I didn't realize it was going to stimulate the conversation for today, but this morning when I got up, God said something to me. He said, I was asking God, I was talking to God, meditating on the word, and he said, the problem is a lot of us in today's society don't have pride, not like the pride we had of the past. And the pride we do have, or we are claiming, really needs deliverance. The pride we have needs deliverance. Because we have pride, but we have pride with no deliverance. So you have pride in things and substances and stuff like that. Let me play something for you. And let me play something for you real quick. This is a song called The Greatest Love of All. I used to listen to this song when I was a child. Over and over, I heard this song being played. And it was more than a song to us. It was an anthem. And I want to read to you the first verse. The first verse of this song says, I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us of how it used to be. You know, I think about how things were when we were growing up. I think about how pride was instilled in us. And I realize today that some of us don't realize truly what pride is. We really don't have an understanding of what pride is. Why is pride? So pride is, this is from the Webster Dictionary, a feeling of deep pleasure, satisfaction, derived from one's own achievement, the achievements of those with whom one is closely associated, or from qualities that are widely admired. From one's own achievements, I remember growing up, we had pride in our neighborhood. We had pride in the way we dressed. We had pride in the family members that were doing good. We didn't disassociate with those that were doing bad. We had pride, though, in those that were upstanding, productive people in the society. See, we had pride in the fact that we knew our brothers and cousins and aunts and uncles, and we got along. We became a society of people that we didn't have a whole lot, but we had one another. We had God in our lives. Our mama used to make us go to church. Grandmama, I'm sorry. My grandmother used to make us go to church. And we would go to church, like, I don't know, it had to be 9 o'clock in the morning. We would still sleep. Our grandparents would wake us up and take us to church. He would take us to go to church on Sunday morning. We would stay in church all day till like lunchtime, take a break, go back to church, come back home. It'd be dark at night. That's your whole Sunday. You spent in the church. You spent in the church. No playing, no running around, no fun, no nothing. We spent in the church. Half the time you was in the church, you were sleeping. Because you had been there so long. You just was tired of the sitting there. So you slept and you woke up and you listened to whatever was going on. And you slept and you woke up and the people in the church would be jumping around and they'd be shouting and they'd be crying and they'd be hollering. And you didn't know what was going on. You had no idea why these things were happening. I remember sitting in the pews and I saw this woman. And I was sitting in the pews and she was up. They were casting out demons and stuff from her. And she started just having a bad reaction. And the more she had this reaction, this bad reaction to what they were doing to her, she was screaming and she was holding her stomach and she was holding her head and she was, things were coming out of her mouth and all kinds of things were going on. And I seen the woman down there doing all that and I said to myself, stop, you're hurting her. Stop, you're hurting her. Stop, you're hurting her. Not realizing as a child, they weren't hurting her, they were helping her. They weren't beating on her, they were cleansing her. See, today we walk around proud like peacocks. Because I belong to this gang, or I belong to that gang. You proud because you went to jail. Proud because you got a record. You proud because you got swag, your pants hanging all the way down to your kneecaps, and then you got sweatpants on under them, and then a belt on there just to keep you, because you're cool. You got pride in the fact that you got money, no matter how much money it is, no matter how you got it. You're proud because you got money. When I was growing up, we learned that money was the root of all evil. When I became an adult, I understood that money, there's nothing evil about money. It's the spirit that's drawn to the money. You know, Rabbi Zacharias said, when you think of it, really, there are four fundamental questions of life. You've asked them. I've asked them. Every thinking person has asked them. They boil down to this. Origin, meaning morality and destiny. How did I come to being? What brings life meaning? How do I know right from wrong? And where I am headed when I die? Psalm 34 says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. You know, I believe right now that we're in a society where our children have been crying for so long, calling out for help, calling for help from their mentors, from their parents. And we have been so focused on giving them better or giving them more that we forgot to show them what it's like to really be loved. Really to know what it's like to be protected. Really to give them the understanding of what true family values are. So what our children have done, they raised themselves. They started learning from one another, understanding from one another. That's why when a young man or a young woman goes to a gang, it's because they're looking for a sense of family, of looking for a place to belong. If you've ever looked at a documentary or heard of people talk about their gang is closer than their family. These my people. We may be robbing, stealing, and doing all kinds of things, but see, they love me. They really believe that these people that are around them love them. You know why? Because they're willing to put their life down for them. And the people around them have made the same vow to put their life down for them, for the set, whatever that set might be. While parents kept working two and three and four jobs to make ends meet, parents became younger and younger, trying to raise a child when they were only children themselves. See, we lost, we dropped the ball somewhere. And now our children are paying the price. See, we had an obligation to our children, but we were so busy trying to provide the latest Nike Prada or Sergio that they turned to a child for guidance. The Bible says, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Today I'm trying to say to somebody, wait a minute. Think about your child. What didn't you do to help them get to where they are? See, we have this idea today that we want our child to be our friend. I think that was the craziest thing we ever did, to think my child was my friend. My friend that's 20 years younger than me. I don't hang out with people 20 years younger than me. I don't give a person that's 20 years younger than me equal opportunity to do the same things I do. If my supervisor is 20 years younger than me, that's fine. We still ain't hanging out in the streets together. Because what he sees as okay, I don't see it as okay. What she sees as the club, I don't want to go in that club where you at, listening to the music you listen to, acting the way you act. I don't want to do that because I'm a grown man. See, we forgot the Lord. Oh, we wanted to give him clothes and house and cars, but we forgot to give him God. We forgot to give us the love they needed, not what they wanted, what they needed. See, when I was growing up, my grandparents was from the shop, and they used to say to me, boy, you can go out and play today, but when you go out and play, you better be back here by the time those streetlights come on. The streetlights, you stop. And if you wasn't back by the time the streetlights come on, boy, you was in trouble. You paid for that. He paid for it. But one thing about my parents, they were fair. And the neighborhood was a family. So if your neighbors saw you down street playing and the streetlights was coming on, they would holler at their door, Harrington, boy, you better get your butt home. Streetlights about to come on right now. Your parents could sit in her door. You could be down the other end of the block, and she'll scream out your name, or he'll holler out your name. And believe me, when you heard that name ring out, everybody in the neighborhood was telling you, your mom calling, your dad calling, you better get home, and you set it off to the house. You didn't see no 20-year-old sitting there drinking liquor with 40-year-old people. You didn't see a 15-year-old sitting out there smoking cigarettes right along with a 30-year-old adult. You didn't see that stuff. See, what we gotta understand today is we gotta bring pride back into people. But when we bring that pride in, deliverance has to accompany it. See, if you get pride and don't get delivered from the sin that you're in, then you have nothing. Oh, sorry, you have the society we have today. See, deliverance comes from realizing that you don't know it all. Deliverance comes when you understand that there is a difference between a 15-year-old child and a 40-year-old man. Deliverance comes when you realize that it's your job to love that child, not the school. It's your job to teach that child, along with the school teacher. We send them off to school, and then we don't see them again since 9 o'clock at night, time for them to go to bed. They get out of school 3:30. So from 3:30 in the afternoon to 8 o'clock at night, when they see you, they're doing God knows what with God knows who. And then you wonder Why are they acting like that? You know, we came to a point in life where we started saying, well, I'd rather they do it at home with me where I can protect them than allow them to do it out in the streets where they'll get hurt. And I understand why we did that. I understand why we made that decision. You know, because parents want to protect their child. Parents love their child, so they want to protect their child. See, we try to make things so easy for them that we fail to understand one thing. That you are who you are because of the struggles and trials that you went through. You are who you are because of the things that happened in your life. You are who you are because of you had to pick yourself up and you made a decision that instead of selling drugs, I'm going to work these 2-3 jobs. Instead of trying to, my whole focus is going to get me and my family out of the ghetto without using illegal means. That was your focus, and it was hard. And you cried a lot, and you got a lot of bumps, and you got a lot of bruises, but you did it. You can say, I'm working. It's hard. I'm struggling to make ends meet, but I'm working. I'm not out there selling my body for a dollar bill. I'm not out there cursing somebody out or fighting somebody just to try to steal what they have. I'm not out there doing wrong to be right. Today, I'm trying to tell you today that we have an obligation. We have an obligation to our children. To the children right now who we call our loved ones. To our children, the same children who we feed and clothe every night. When we see them coming out, we know they ain't got no job, but they always got brand new sneakers. And you don't question where the money came from. They pull up to your house with a car. You know they ain't even got a license. You don't ask where that comes from. You catch them when they're smoking. And what do? You go out and buy them a pack of cigarettes. Or you go out and buy them a blunt. Or you go out and buy them whatever to keep smoking. And then when they catch cancer, you holler out, see that? You shouldn't have been smoking. I told you I smoked. But you sat in front of their face for 45 years smoking. When they catch liver cancer from alcohol, you say, oh, my baby. Well, you sat in front of that child for 50 years drinking. When he's locked up for cussing somebody out or hitting somebody or killing somebody, you wonder, well, what happened? How did that happen? When every time he saw you, all you was on was screaming, hollering, and shouting them at him. Or you was hitting him or her upside the head. And you wonder where they got it from. You wonder how it happened. You wonder why. See, today, I'm talking to somebody. And I need you to understand that without deliverance, pride is null and void. I'm sure they got people running around here right now talking about gay pride and this kind of pride and that kind of pride. But that pride is only having pride in the sexuality. That's not the pride that God wants you to have. He wants you to have pride in your achievements. Pride in how you stand up for morality. Pride. Because understand something. We still have homosexuals and anybody else selling drugs. Smoking drugs, drinking, and doing anything else. But I'm glad, Karen. Oh, no, that's a different type of pride. I'm going to be at the gay pride parade. Oh, I'm going to have me a bag of weed with me. That's not pride. That's acceptance. That's acceptance. That, okay, I choose to be this way or so, but I'm still going to smoke my weed. I'm still going to drink my alcohol and everything else. So why can't we all have pride in who we are naturally? Have pride in the fact that I'm working a full-time job. Have pride in the fact that, that the money I'm making, I'm saving it as well as paying my bills. The car I'm driving might not be the best car on the lot, but if the car is mine and it's paid for. What happened to pride and the fact that I am a man? What happened to the pride when my children, I love my children, whether we speak daily or only once a week or whenever we speak. What happened to the pride that woke us up every morning and we didn't want to put our clothes on and go out to that job? You know, and this new generation of children won't even work certain jobs. They'd rather be broke or be home with their mom and dad sitting around like the moms and grandparents and pay for everything before they go out and get a job. So what do? Ain't no jobs out there. I've been hating that word for so long. When people say there's no jobs out there. No, there's jobs out there. There's no job you want that's out there. Or that you think your friends and people will accept that are out there. See, because people don't understand. When I had my first two children, I was working McDonald's and Burger King. Stop. I was working day and night just to pay child support and take care of my family. Two jobs. Both of them. People used to see me, family members used to see me working at McDonald's and Burger King and used to talk junk and laugh. Man, why don't you go get you a real job? Man, why don't you get you a real job? And look at you, why is you working at Burger King or McDonald's? Why don't you get you a real job? And I should say to them all the time, well, a check beats a blank every day of the week. A check beats a blank every day of the week. So I may not be making $1 million a week, but I got a check I'm bringing home to my wife and family. I got two checks that's coming home to my wife and my family. So I'm contributing. It may not be a whole lot. It may not be all I want it to be, but I'm contributing to the family that I made. See, people got to understand today that it's more about pride than just having something. That's where the deliverance comes in. See, the Bible tells us that when we were a child, we ate and we spoke as a child. When we became a man, we put childish things away. Well, that means that when I became a man, I stopped cheating on my woman. Because I no longer needed that extra woman to validate who I was. When I became a man, I became responsible. So I stopped running the streets. I stopped chasing tail. I stopped smoking and drinking. I became a man. When I put the childish things away, I stopped worrying about what my friends and family thought of me. I started worrying about what my children and my wife thought of me. What was I doing to contribute to society? See, that's deliverance. See, every drug dealer, hoodlum, thief, everyone has pride. We just don't have deliverance with the pride. I'm hoping I'm telling somebody something that they understand. I hope you stay with me. You come meet me on Zeno FM to hear the conclusion of this. Because God got something he wants to get out. See, pride without deliverance results in the society that we see today. A society when you turn on the news every other day,